I love talking to you.
David, let's talk. You're here at Credit Conference with North Dakota Bankers Association. A very volatile time geopolitically. We're into an election season. Markets, a lot of unevenness there. Maybe not exactly where I'd like to see it. What was the message for the folks today?
I think the message I was giving them is we are definitely in the start of the down cycle in agriculture. And I think one of the things that we've got to be cognizant of, geopolitical risk is probably one of our biggest risks, and the whole thing on sanctions and tariffs, while it doesn't hit the general economy as much, it hits the ag economy because $1 in $5 of net farm income comes from export markets. And so we have to be very careful of what they call counter tariffs. For example, up in Canada, they put 100% tariff on electric vehicles. Well, China says, we don't want any of your canola. And so I think that uncertainty compounded by how long is this down cycle going to last? And as I told a group here today of bankers, I think we really got to watch, the tariffs and sanctions. I think we have to watch the health of the U.S. economy. Are we going to kind of tip into a recession? Of course, one of the things longer term, the monetary and fiscal policy, particularly fiscal policy, it is not sustainable. We cannot continue to carry these deficits that we're carrying to keep the economy going. And then, of course, Eric Snodgrass is on talking about the weather. The wild card is the weather. And so that all being said, it looks like we're coming into a period of 2013 to 2020, kind of a down flat period as far as commodity prices, though weather here or weather worldwide, I call it the global south, south of the equator, can impact that equation very quickly.
If I can unpack a few of those things, when you talk about really the trade situation, whether we're looking at either party, there both seems like a more of a protectionist approach that we've seen than what we've had in the past.
It's interesting you brought that up. Yes, we're definitely moving to protectionism, but we are worldwide. For example, the leader of India, third time on president, he's very farm protectionist oriented. Europe is moving toward that stance. So we're moving back into that cycle of deglobalization. And that's not good for agriculture. And so we're going to have to watch the tariffs, the counter tariffs. And again, this is both parties. And I think that's detrimental to the agriculture industry, where we now have more competition from the global south. In other words, Brazil, Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, you can go right across the south of the equator. They get the technology the same time we do. They're putting new resources into production. So it's not 10 years ago or it's not 20 years ago. Much more competitive global agriculture industry in a trend of deglobalization, which doesn't bode well.
On the economic front, at least in this region, the land market has been very resilient, maybe plateauing, but even that the good cropland is holding very strong.
It sure is. And as I told the audience here today, the first asset to correct will be machinery and equipment, which it is. And it all starts at the peripheral of the country. It was occurring about 2 years ago in the south. The second asset will usually be livestock. The third will be your land resource. And if I told you there's been a land value correction of 50% somewhere in the United States, you'd say, well, what have you been doing? No, in California, in almond country, it's corrected 50%. And what I find is land's not correcting yet it's softening. Now, you will hear, the record land values in certain areas where a couple of people get in a bidding war. But generally speaking, we'll probably see a softening of land value and possibly some correction, particularly if we say in this cycle, it usually takes 18 to 24 months before you see the correction in land values.
You always look at demographics and industry trends. What are some things that a grower should be alert to as we move forward?
Big picture? We aren't reproducing enough worldwide. And I'll just give you an example. Part of China's problems right now is the one-child policy for 35 years. They have 1.4 billion in population today. They'll be under a billion by 2050. But this is occurring throughout the world. As we urbanize, we have less children. And you'd say, wow, that doesn't... But agriculture is very dependent on growing population around the world. So that's one demographic trend. The other demographic trend is watch us baby boomers. We're in the early cycle of retirement right now, and as we go out later, our needs and our wants and just our philosophy changes. And I'll just give you an example on land values. Baby boomers are still buying land. Why? We don't trust cryptocurrency, and sure enough, the stock market's kind of risky, so we're buying land. That'll continue for a few more years, but around 2032 to 2035, the brakes are going to tap on that, because all of a sudden we're going to become more conservative, and our health, both mental and physical, is going to require more cash needs, so we'll be selling some of those assets. So positive news is some of the young farmers and ranchers are probably have some opportunities. So demographics drives us not only on long-term cash flow, but also on our asset values as well.
It's got to be a huge amount of land turning over just because of the amount of boomers on the land.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm taking the general economy now. $68 trillion of assets going to change hands from 2025 to 2040. $4 trillion in agriculture. You know what's interesting? About a third of that's owned by females today. By 2040, 2045, it'll be two-thirds because they own much of the farm ground. You know what the other trend we're seeing? More owned and managed farm and ranches by females. And so that's going to be another significant trend that, you know, companies are going to have to address and align with this next gen that's going to be different than the past gen.
This country is so divided politically. Do you see any hope on the horizon there?
No, I've been in 33 states, you know, to your listeners this year. And I don't care if I go into blue state, red state, red state, blue state. People are really frustrated right now. And what will happen is I think you'll see a new next gen, a politician come up. And if they're smart, what they will do, they'll work across across parties to get things accomplished. In other words, people are looking for statesmen. In other words, someone that represents the middle, not the extremes. But it'll take either an economic shock or some shock to our system to bring that next gen of politicians up. And people ask me, what about the outcomes that are going to come here in a month? I'm watching more on the congressional and the Senate than I am at the presidential, because key movements in that area can be very, very instrumental in policy and agriculture in rural America.
Great. Any final thoughts?
I'll tell you one thing, though, as I go in. We're coming into a cycle, as I started my talk out today, and I got a call from a guy, and he says, tell him. Cash flows are now relevant, and that numbers don't lie. And what I'm trying to say is sometimes we build our best business models during the downturn, and in the, when we're having good times, we get kind of complacent. And so use this, and I've been through many cycles as a business owner and speaker. Use these cycles to sharpen those skills, get back to basics and focus on those fundamentals, and don't get too high and don't get too low.